Hello, this is Andy Bomick, and welcome to another Mojo Music, where I'll be reading articles from Mojo Magazine, along with playing snippets of music. Please let Sun Sounds Radio know if you enjoyed today's program, or how it could be improved. Okay, as I mentioned last week, I'm going to continue reading articles from the most current Mojo Magazine, that's March 2025. I'm going to start off with an article, 1965 N45s. 20 subversive singles from 1965, and then a review of the officially endorsed documentary on Jeff Buckley, who passed away in 1997, and a classic album review of Transformer by Lou Reed. And we start off with the article titled, The Tripping Point, 1965 and 45s. 60 years ago, a sonic revolution was afoot, in strange new records on both sides of the Atlantic. The Beatles and The Who, joined by The Syndicats and The Silky, as guitar feedback, druggy folk, and surging soul battled Ken Dodd and The Seekers for cultural ascendancy. Enjoy it all in Mojo's list of 20 subversive singles from 1965. Welcome to the year Pop Got Weird. Issue of Record Mirror, dated April 3, 1965, an airbrushed Elvis Presley is on the cover, pegged to the partial success of Do the Clam at number 22 in the UK charts after 4 weeks. The letters page on page 2 leads with a picture of Buddy Holly. Influence still going strong. Yet on page 3 is the evidence of something stirring beyond 50s necrophilia. A half-page advert for the Rolling Stones, The Last Time. The five pictured with long windblown hair. Followed a few pages later by a news report on the Beatles' new disc, Ticket to Ride, which has a bluesy, almost R&B feel. In the center page is an article about the group that slaughters their amplifiers, The Who. After a lead review for Jim Reeves' latest album and various singles reviews, comes the top burst between various balladeers and the omnipresent Seekers. The Stones are at number 1 with the Yardbirds and Donovan also in the top 10. And The Who, them, and Bob Dylan in the top 20. The Supremes' Stop in the Name of Love is one of the highest risers, with Martha and the Vandals, Nowhere to Run, the highest new entry. Clearly, 1965 is not 1958, nor 1963, not even 1964. With all the money and attention focused on this generation and its youth culture, something unforeseen in the world of pop is occurring. Musicians are considering what they do not merely as fulfilling commercial imperatives, but in terms of self-expression and artistic ambition. Starting in 1965, pop culture offered, as the pioneering critic Paul Williams observed, a huge new playground to create and communicate and be perverse in. In the UK, two groups led the pack, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and both released strange new singles in that March-April period. The moment the year really got going, The Last Time and Ticket to Ride were both based around thick, droning guitar figures and injected a darker approach to the traditional themes of love and romance. This was not just teen pop, but indicators of a new attitude. Lyrics could be more complex, arrangements more inventive, and attitudes more confrontational. Even though Ken Dodd and the Seekers have the two best-selling singles of the year, 1965 was different because it was not just the same old, and the selections below are designed to reflect a year when there were massive innovations in lyrics, arrangements, and technology. When Motown and Stax made inroads into the UK chart, especially after the UK Motown tour of March 1965. And there was the first hint of psychoactive drugs. Chronological order, one single per act. Mostly mainstream. There is fascinating material in the margins, but the point of the year was on both sides of the Atlantic. Could be dynamic. Could be forward-looking. Could contain content and complexity. Welcome to the year Pop Got Weird. Who I Can't Explain. January. 1965 would partly belong to The Who, with a hit album and three top 10 singles, including an era-defining monolith in My Generation. They set down their marker in the first week of the year with this deceptively simple manifesto. Senses, blurred lyrics, stroopy vocals, and razor-sharp power chords. Freely taken from the Kinks, of course, but already more troubled and psychological. I'm Getting Funny Dreams Again and Again. Then Ray Davies Would Yet Be. Half in the previous era of romantic love, half in a drugged, chaotic future. Split in half by a stuttering guitar solo. Top 20 may be hyped, but they're off. And here's a little bit of that single, I Can't Explain, by The Who. Walker and the All-Stars, Shotgun, February. In late 1964, saxophonist Junior Walker watched his audience try out a new step. They were going across the floor like they was shooting, he remembered. When he asked them what the dance was called, the kids told him the Shotgun and tasked him with writing a track of that name. Tougher than most contemporary Motown 45s, Shotgun begins with a gunshot and booting sax. Walker's gruff vocals are echoed by an electric organ high in the mix, while the tense guitar is reminiscent of Steve Cropper at Stax. The functional lyric references the dance of 1964, the jerk, but this is something new, assertive and abrasive, and it hit the spot, number 4. And here is some of that song, Shotgun, by Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Oh,
The next 45 from 1965 is She's About a Mover by the Sir Douglas Quintet, February. The American reaction to the Beatles' early 1964 takeover was first charted in Novelty Records. It wasn't until the end of the year that the first creative response occurred. The Beau Bremel's Laugh, Laugh, a U.S. top 20 in January 1965. This irresistible jerker followed shortly afterwards, rising up to number 13 in early spring. Written by producer Huey Max, after repeated plays of She's a Woman, the offbeat She's About a Mover is totally sold by Doug Sahem's funky, soulful voice and Augie Meyer's repeated two-note stabs on his Vox Continental. Totally American. It, nevertheless, crossed the Atlantic, hitting UK number 15 in the summer. And here's She's About a Mover by Sir Douglas Quintet. Next up, The Poets, That's the Way It's Got to Be. February. Managed by Andrew Luke Oldham, this storied Glasgow group made a splash in late autumn 1964 with the otherworldly top 30, Now We're Through. This follow-up upped the tempo and added hand claps, maracas, and a snappy dance beat. The lyric is direct romantic realism. But for now, let's live, and we might find that our love will be the lasting kind. But lent extra strangeness by George Gallagher's high vocals and Hume Patton's 12-string guitar, weaving throughout, ignored at the time, the single was much comped after this period was excavated as Freak Beat by Phil Smee in the mid-80s. And here's That's the Way It's Got to Be by The Poets.
That's the way it's got to be.
the next song is Stop in the Name of Love by the Supremes. On March 20, 1965, the Motown Review began a 20-city tour of the UK, featuring the Supremes, the Miracles, Martha and the Vandellas, and Stevie Wonder, among others. This would be the first chance for British fans to experience the label's artist in person. The tour coincided with the first releases on the new Licensed to UK Tamla Motown imprint, a title coined by soul maven Dave Grodin, and this was the most successful of the initial batch, number 7 in the UK. From the opening organ swell, Stop is totally and perilous, with Diana Ross injecting the customary lovelorn lyrical patch with real venom. But is her sweet expression worth more than my love and affection? And here's a little bit of Stop in the Name of Love by the Supremes. The Rolling Stones play with fire. The flip of the last time, the group's first self-penned UK number one, this is a sharp left turn, a pretty, almost folky melody matched to one of Jagger's already well-honed truth attacks. Unlike previous attempts, such as Tell Me or Good Times, Bad Times, Play with Fire is totally convincing, with all the elements, including echo tambourine and Jack Nitschke on harpsichord, perfectly matched. The lyric is basically class war transposed onto a single woman, with districts of London, St. John's Wood, Knightsbridge, Stepney, etc., precisely delineating a scenario of slumming and bad faith. The 60s version of Pulp's Common People. And here is Play with Fire by the Rolling Stones.
Well, you've got your diamond, and you've got your pretty clothes, and the chauffeur drives your car. You let everybody know. But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. Your mother, she's an heiress, owns a block in St. John's Wood. And your father, be there with her, if he only could. But don't playing with fire. shops in Stepney, not in Knightsbridge anymore. So don't play.
Another subversive 45 from 1965, The Beatles, Ticket to Ride. With its tricksy, complex introduction, this one still leaps out at you. The Beatles' first single for 5 months saw them forsake simple romance and materialism, all those songs about diamond rings. For a more complex scenario, the woman is leaving, but where's the man at? Has he come to terms with the fact, or is he still in the first stage of shock? With the lyrics suggesting a more realistic approach to romance, she said that living with me, in a ferocious arrangement, that halting drum pattern, deep bass rumble, and guitar growl, Ticket to Ride was the record that saw the group transcend basic beat for uncharted territory. Stoner Beatles. And here is Ticket to Ride by the Beatles.
I think I'm gonna be sad. I think it's a day.
Vashidi Bunyan, Some Things Just Stick in Your Mind. May, Andrew Luke Oldham was hoping for another Mariana Faithful when he signed up Vashidi Bunyan, but he got something more protean and elusive. This, her first record, is a fairly standard, boomy early 1965 UK arrangement, but the vocals and the lyrics are something else. Bunyan's intimate tones turn this Jagger Richard cast-off into a psychological conundrum that actually does stick in your mind. Why, when the children grow up and leave, still remember their nursery rhymes? Why must there be so much hate in their lives? Some things just stick in their minds. And here's Some Things Just Stick in Your Mind by Vashidi Bunyan. Another submersive 45 from 1965, James Brown. Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Part 1, June. Spread over two sides of a single, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag was nothing less than a deconstruction of dance music, with all the different parts, the horns, the lyrics, the scat interjections, Jimmy Nolan's scratching guitar, taken apart, looped, and reassembled into something that, dispensing with traditional song structure, accentuated feel and groove. It was also a functional dance song with a lyric that cited the jerk, the fly, the mashed potatoes, etc., which helped it go to number 8 US and the UK top 30. It quickly took on a life of its own. "It's a little beyond me," Brown admitted in 1965. "I'm actually fighting the future. It's just out there." And here's Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Part 1, by James Brown.
Papa's in the same. Ain't you hip? But that new breed thing ain't no drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a jacket. He's on the fly. Don't play him cheap, cause you know he ain't shy. He threw the monkey the mashed potatoes. Jump back, Jack. See you later, alligator. Come down to dinner. Papa's in the swing. Get you hip now.
Edwin Starr, Agent 00 Soul, June. A minor but highly entertaining footnote in black music history is the impact of the James Bond franchise on mid-60s soul and dance records. Secret Agents by The Olympics, Sacagawea JB by Rex Garvin and the Mighty Cravers, and this acknowledged classic, backed up by moonlighting Motown musicians. Starr lays down the commandments of cool over a tight, swinging arrangement. I dig rock and roll music. I can do the twine and the jerk. I wear strictly continental suits and high-collared shirts. Agent 00 Soul reached number 21 in the U.S., and became a Northern soul classic in the late 60s, when the classic Motown sound was revived in UK clubs. And here's a little bit of that single, Agent 00 Soul by Edwin Starr.
I dig rock and roll music. I can do the twine and the jerk. I wear strictly continental suits and high-collar shirts. I've got a reputation of being gentle but bold, and that's why they call me Agent 00 Soul, baby. Agent 00 Soul. They call me
And the next 45 from 1965 is by the Byrds, I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better, June. The group's second single, All I Really Want to Do, was not a big hit in the U.S., but hit number 4 in the U.K., assisted by an in-person Top of the Pops appearance. Flip It and You Get This Wonderful Song, The Byrds at Their Hottest. The Ciro's Dance Band on record. The tension in the song is between the ringing, up-tempo arrangement and the betrayal after what you did of the lyrics tempered by the word probably. Pure excitement wins the day. As you can see in the group's ecstatic May 1965 hullabaloo performance of the song, Gene Clark in Excelsis. And here is I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better by the Byrds.
The reason why, oh, I can say, I have to let you go, and right away, after what you do, I can't stay on.
The next song is Rescue Me by Fontella Bass. This was a massive U.S. hit, number 4, but also has the distinction of being one of the first soul tracks to make an impact on the U.K. charts, reaching number 11. Originating in a jam session, Rescue Me is a canny fusion of Stax, that chopping guitar, and Motown, the pumping bass, with a bit of Chess studio grit in the mix. Bass's vocal ranges from pleading to soulful, with a memorable call and response section near the fade out. Disguised at her treatment by Chess, she alleges she wrote most of the track. Bass quit the mainstream industry and, after marrying avant-garde jazz trumpeter Lester Bowie, sang with his group, the Art Ensemble of Chicago. And here's the song Rescue Me by Fontella Bass.
Come on, baby.
Bob Dylan, Positively 4th Street, September. Spring 1965 was the moment folk Dylan crossed over and then quickly made a major swerve with the full band arrangement of Like a Rolling Stone, a massive hit on both sides of the Atlantic. This follow-up pedifies the sound. Take a Bow, the sweet guitar of Mike Bloomfield, and Figaree organ of Al Kooper, only serving to highlight the undiluted venom of the lyric, which climaxes in a moment of apparent empathy. Soon dashed, I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes, and just for that one moment, I could be you. Yes, I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes, you'd know what a drag it is to see you. Boom. And here is Positively 4th Street by Bob Dylan.
So hurt, why then don't you show it? You say you've lost your faith, but that's not where it's at. You have no faith to lose, and you know it. Behind my back, I used to be among the crowd you're in with.
And the next 45 is Crawdaddy Simone by the Syndicates, September. After the Yardbirds, in particular, rave-ups became a staple of British R&B. The harshness of U.S. R&B and blues transmitted into a menacing white teenage spasm. The Syndicates came from North London and fell into the orbit of Joe Meek, whose trademark patch, all reverb and compression, was beginning to seem passé by mid-1965. This blows any thoughts of irrelevance out of the water. A blues portrait of a spooky, friendless scene maker, fractured by two insanely accelerated breaks by Ray Fenwick. Guitar revving into white noise, the most extreme sound of that year, as featured on Mojo Working, the cover mount CD with Mojo 365. And here is the song Crawdaddy Simone by the Syndicates.
Cheating was his trade, a seller of lies, a heart so cold, he seemed to hypnotize. He always walks alone, Crawdaddy Simone. He had no axe to grind, you never saw him smile. But his luck was good, he always dressed in style. He always walks alone, Crawdaddy Simone. He ain't got no friends, he ain't got
next song is You've Got to Hide Your Love Away by the Silky, September. With their policy of not including singles on their long players, the Beatles left the field open to covers every time they released an album. Yesterday got all the props on Help. But this version of another standout song deserves more attention. Named after the traditional song, The Great Silky of Soul Scary, the Silky were managed by Brian Epstein and assisted on this track by three Beatles: John Lennon, production, Paul McCartney, guitar, and George Harrison, tambourine. The vocals are pure boy-girl folk, perfectly suited to the song's deep melancholy. And the Beatles' involvement made it pop. It entered the UK top 30 and the US top 10. And the next 45 is the Yardbirds' Evil Hearted You, October. 1965 was also a banner year for the Yardbirds, who, by the autumn, were considered to be at the forefront of British pop. After two enormous and innovative hits with For Your Love and Heartful O' Soul, along with the Kinks' See My Friends, the first effective use of Eastern sonorities in British pop music. A double A-side with the Gregorian chant. Still, I'm Sad, Evil Hearted You, was a Graham Goldman song well-suited to Keith Reeves' gothic vocals, with a guitar riff so doomy and lyrics so abject that it reveals a desolate landscape, masochistic misery. You lead me on till all hope's gone, persuading, degrading, on my knees I try to please. And here is the song, Evil Hearted You, by the Yardbirds.
Spread around against me. Evil hearted you, you kept kidding me along with your phony smile and with your siren song smile.
The next 45 is Hey Jip, Dig the Slowness by Donovan, October. 1965 was also the year that pop merged with folk, flagged most obviously by Bob Dylan's spring tour of the UK and the rise of Donovan, a ready, steady, go regular who hit the top five with his first two records. Folk brought on the Beatnik Attitude, which, inter alia, included Hallucinogenic Drugs. This was the flip of the unsuccessful single Turquoise, a retooling of the old blues song Can I Do It For You. That made a very early impact mention of LSD, I'll Buy You a Sugar Cube. A clip of Donovan singing this was included in the Rediffusion TV special A Boy Named Donovan, which also featured footage of dope smoking, a transgression that brought the police down on the singer's head in mid-1966. And here's the song, Hey GYP, Dig the Slowness by Donovan.
I I'll buy a Chevrolet. Buy a Chevrolet. I'll buy you a Chevrolet. You just give me some of your love. Just give me some of your love. Just give me some of your love, gal. Just give me some of your love. I don't want your Chevrolet. I don't want Chevrolet, yeah. I don't want your Chevrolet. Just give me some of your love, man. Just give me some of your love. If just give me some of your love, man. Just give me some of your love. I'll buy four Mustang. I'll buy you four Mustang. I'll buy you a four Mustang. Just give me some of your love, man.
And the next 45 from 1965, Small Faces, I've Got Mine, November. These teenage ravers had fast-tracked a top 20 hit in the late summer with the feedback laced, What You Gonna Do About It? But this Lane Marriott penned follow-up tempered their brash approach with subtlety and dynamics, matching the lyric of Hurt and Revenge. It begins slowly for the first couple of verses with Steve Marriott revving up into the chorus before accelerating to an abrupt stop. A brief organ interlude segues into the chorus and then a full rave up. It's a fantastic record, but went nowhere, coinciding the group to outside songwriters for their next single. There's a clip on YouTube of the Small Faces performing this song in a caper film, Dateline Diamonds. Here's the song, I've Got Mine, by Small Faces.
I just sit here every day wondering what you'll have to say. I just wrote her that I'm fine. Between the lines, she'll know I'm crying. Can't forget her. And it's her. Yes, it's her. Deep inside me. But no one knows it. Cause I got my baby. Don't you know that?
Number 19, Otis Redding, I Can't Turn You Loose, November. 1965 was a breakthrough year for Redding, with three classic American singles in a row. Mr. Pitiful, I've Been Loving You Too Long, number 21 in the U.S., and Respect, number 35 in the U.S., and a breakout U.K. hit promoted by PR wizard Tony Hall, My Girl, number 11. This is the fourth, a romping, exuberant showcase for Redding's soulful, rhythmic vocals, riding the horn blast and the arrangement's tough guitar riff. Despite being a prominent entry in George Harrison's favorite 50 songs of the year, as printed in Tony Hall's Record Mirror column, I Can't Turn You Loose wasn't released in the UK for several months, when it became a pirate radio favorite and eventually made the top 30 in late summer 1966. And here's the song, I Can't Turn You Loose, by Otis Redding.
I'm gonna do that.
final subversive single of 1965, The Kinks, Till the End of the Day. This was the group's fifth single of 1965, a roller coaster year in terms of chart positions, and one that saw at least one major artistic advance, the keening drone of See My Friends, climaxing with a rave up and resolving into Feedback. Till the End of the Day closes the riff-heavy period of the Kinks in ambiguous style. From its harsh opening guitar figure, this is a record that is as much about frustration and anger as it is about the release of the lyric. Regard it as a concept double A-side with the flip, Where Have All the Good Times Gone?, which has one of the most cutting lyrics of this or any year. Daddy didn't have no toys, and Mommy didn't need no boys. And here's the song, Till the End of the Day by the Kinks.
Baby, I feel good from the moment I arrive.
I promise I'll get to the article about Jeff Buckley next week, so we leave time for the classic album review, which is Transformer by Lou Reed, 1972. Lou Reed had the credibility and the songs, David Bowie, the sound, and the media appeal. The meeting of American master and British alumni gave the 70s one of its most delicious icons, a record that exploited and at the same time defined glam rock. Reed had left the Velvet Underground in 1970 with a bitter taste of defeat and animosity. New York had been cold and unappreciative. London now seemed where the action was. Reed moved to England and debuted on RCA with a failed self-titled solo album concocted with Velvet's leftovers, rehashed by non-empathetic studio musicians. A second chance was offered by Bowie, who had been producing shiny dramatic recordings with his guitar player Mick Ronson. Both labored to extract from the usually dry poet and musician an exhilarating mix of camp, decadence, and unforgettable tunes. Transatlantic hits Walk on the Wild Side, Satellite of Love, and Perfect Day. Here's some of the song Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed from Transformer.
Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was given head. She says, hey, babe.
Vocal arrangements are as gorgeous as the guitars were searing. The presence of upright bass and saxophone adding a cabaret ambience. The sexual ambiguity of front and back cover appealing to a teenage audience still discovering the facts of life. It also had rockers to warm up the dance floor, and behind it all, the shadow of a never-made Warhol musical populated by adoring transvestites and debauched speed freaks, arty parties, and urban sophistication. Transformer is Lou Reed's most commercial effort, and its chart history in the UK alone spans three decades. It's also a superficial exception, as proven by the depths of Reed's adventurous career. And unfortunately, once again, that's all the time that we have for today. Please join me next week when I continue reading articles from the March 2025 issue of Mojo Magazine. I'm going to begin with the article that I couldn't get to this week about the documentary about Jeff Buckley, and then an article about the Australian band NXS, and a classic album review of Daydream Nation by Sonic Youth. Until then, this is Andy Bombeck for Mojo Music, saying so long, and keep rocking.
And the colored girls go do 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 do